Amen. Well, our theme for the year is kingdom reign. We've been talking about God's kingdom and the reigning in the kingdom and what it actually means for us to reign in life, to reign in God's kingdom and to be able to rule. Now, so what I want to talk about having a fearless life. Last week I spoke about reigning in life and talked about, well, first of all, we need reigning. If we reign over something, you're ruling over something. There's something that is subject, the subject, something in subjection. Well, what do we rule over? Well, we don't rule over people. First thing we need to rule over was our flesh. We talked about that. We talked about how the devil is actually under our feet. We're not his plaything. We're not his puppet, that we have an authority in Jesus Christ. And we're not reigned over or subject to the world system. We looked at that. I want to talk this morning about having a fearless life, living a life without fear. Because fear is something that raises its ugly head in so many times, in so many ways, and people find themselves confronted with situations where fear has an opportunity to get in there, whether it's a doctor's report or whether it's you look at your bank statement or you hear something or you see things that are going on. Fear always wants to raise its ugly head. But if we really are ruling in life, if we're really reigning in life in the kingdom of God, then fear is something that should have no part of our lives. Sad thing is when I see so many people, particularly people who don't know the Lord, that fear just comes in there. Always what may happen, what could go wrong, of all the potentials, the possibilities. And if ultimately fear can get people to such an extent that they don't even want to leave their home, they're just too afraid, they become agoraphobic or something and just too scared. Fear, if I walk out that door, what's going to happen to me? Who am I going to meet? What's going to happen to me? Is a dog going to bite me? Is a bus going to run me over? Is someone going to rob me? Some people are fearful even in their own homes. They're fearful every little noise, every little sound. Is someone coming to get me? Fear will try to grab a hold of people, and when it gets a grip on people, it is a constricting thing. It is a suffocating thing, fear. It'll squeeze the very life out of you. But as Christians who understand who we are in Christ, that we have all the power of Christ within us, but we have been called to reign and rule in this life, to reign, that fear is to have no part of our life, that we've been called to live a fearless life. Psalm 145:13 is the scripture we've been looking at this year. It says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all that he has made. Has God made you this morning? Amen. He certainly has, and he's loving towards you, and he's made promises, and he's faithful to all his promises. The main scripture I want to look at, I've got many scriptures this morning, but based on Luke 12:32, and this is what the Lord says. He says, don't be afraid, little flock. I like that. I like that term, little flock. It's not a condescending thing. It's an intimate thing. My little precious ones, don't be afraid. In the same way as a little child, when there's a storm and the lightning and the flashes and the rumbling, and the little one is saying, don't be afraid, little one. It's okay. You're okay. Don't be afraid, little flock. And why should we not be afraid? Why should we have a fearless life? Why don't we have to have fear, allow fear to take grip in our life? It says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What an amazing truth that is, that God has given us the kingdom. We've already learned the kingdom of God is within us. It says, don't be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid, for the Father's been pleased to give you the kingdom. And it's on the basis of the knowledge of the kingdom of God and what it means and who we are within the kingdom of God and the power of God within our lives that we can live a life that is a fearless life without fear. Without fear, not worrying about, oh no, what will happen with this or what could happen, and every contingency, every possibility, every scenario that could somehow go wrong, not allow fear to come into our thinking, not get caught up into negative patterns of thinking that are so destructive and spiraling down into depressive mindsets and those kind of things, that when we allow fear to strangle us in that way, don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What an amazing gift he's given us, the power of the kingdom of God that he's given us and causing us to reign in life. Now, just before I want to look at some areas that people struggle in particularly, before we do that, there's an interesting little scripture in Psalm 2:11. It says, serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule. He's the king. Celebrate his rule with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear. So is that a contradiction that we're going to celebrate his rule, but there's fear within our life? Now, we know that when it talks about serving the Lord with fear, it's just in awe of who God is. He is an awesome God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And so that when we come before God, we duly respect and acknowledge him. He is the King of Kings, and there's that sense of reverence and awe. And he is the awesome God, the creator of heaven and earth. And there's that sense of awe. Wow, he is awesome. He is the mighty King. Doesn't mean we're fearful to approach him, but we are reverent and respectful of God and who he is. We don't treat him flippantly. But to celebrate. So it's hard to be fearful and celebrating, you'd think. Aren't they contradictions? They're not. We just honor God for who he is, and we rejoice in the life that he's given us because he's our King, and we can serve him without fear. It says in Luke 1:24, it might say, Luke 1:24, it says this, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. Sorry, it's actually 74, not 24. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. And so this is part of Zechariah's song after seeing little baby Jesus and the fulfillment of the prophecy. And praise God, he's saying that we don't have to, we've been rescued from the hand of the enemy and to enable us to serve him without fear, to live a life without fear. That's one of the reasons why Jesus died on the cross. He died for our salvation. He died for our healing, for our wholeness, and that we don't have to be fearful people. We don't have to be a fearful people. We don't have to have fear within our lives. But how often I see that fear just tries to get in there, and how people are very quick then to embrace it. And you embrace fear, it'll strangle you. And so how we learn to live a life that is a fearless life. And King David, he had an amazing attitude, and he went through some pretty awesome stuff. But I love what he writes here in Psalm 27. It says this, when the wicked advance against me to devour me. Have you ever felt that? It's like everything is against me. Everything wants to devour me. It is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. What a great response it is. Everything wants to try to come against me. No one will my enemies. The enemy will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me. Maybe you felt like that, like you're surrounded on all sides. If there's something to go wrong, it's going wrong. If something is not working, that's supposed to be working, and it's not working. But whatever the worst case, it seems like everything can go wrong at once. It says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. So there's a confidence, there's a fearlessness. It doesn't matter what I see, doesn't matter what's happening. I'm still going to be confident, and I have a confidence because I know who God is. I know he is the King, and I also know that he's caused me to reign and to rule in life. And if I can grab a hold of it, then I can be confident, even though it looks like an army is surrounding you, as if like everything is against you. Even in the middle of that, there's a confidence that we can have. In Psalm 23:6, he puts it like this, I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Tens of thousands. You might have felt a few things. Have you ever felt tens of thousands? Maybe you have. Maybe the severity of situations that you faced, it's like the pressure of tens of thousands. Just imagine one person and you're standing there in the middle of the MCG and you've got, 80, 90,000 people there. And you're standing right smack bang, right on where they bounce the ball, right on the center square, and you look around, and everyone there wants to kill you. Everyone there is against you. And you just look at the sea of people there. Now, some people get overwhelmed when there's one thing against them or two. Imagine there in the middle of all of that and all of that opposition, in the midst of that, you can stand there, not with an arrogance, not with a cockiness, but with a confidence that says, no, even in the midst of that, I'm going to be confident because I know who the King is and I know who I am and I know the authority that I have to rule. And that's the confidence that God wants us to walk in. That's a part of ruling and reigning in life, is to walk with such a confidence. It doesn't matter what comes against us. It doesn't matter what is surrounding us, the things that we see or experiencing, the frustrations, the pain, whatever the circumstances, even then I will be confident. I will not fear the tens of thousands. And that's a life that God has called you to live. Not to allow fear. If But fear, as I said, it just wants to get in there. It's like a little bit like a slippery snake. It's not so much a viper that seems to strike. It seems to be more like one of those boa constrictor things that'll get in there, just slide in there. And before you even know it, the thing's around you, and then it just crushes the life out of you. And God doesn't want any of us to be under fear, that we have that attacking our lives. One of the real keys to it is in Romans 8:15. And talks about the Spirit of God, because there's something about the Spirit of God within us. That's something that sets you apart from people who know Christ and people who don't know Christ, is the fact that you have the presence of God living within you. You have the person of God living within you by the Holy Spirit living within your life. And so there's something about us, something a little bit different. And it tells us in Romans 8 about how the Spirit of God works within us to stop fear. It says, the Spirit you received, so when we became a Christian, when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, Christ in our heart through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. And so we can't go back to living in fear. Once you become a Christian, a life of fear is not an option. It's not something that we can want to walk in or be allowed to be a part of our life. It says, so that you live in fear again. The Spirit you received, it says, brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. There's something about the Spirit of God that rises within us and says, no, I'm not going to give sway to fear. Because I talked about being royally born before that. Once you come to Christ, you're the son of the king. You are royally born. You have a royal inheritance. We talked about all those things. But the Spirit of God rises up and said, no, I'm not going to be a slave to fear again. And there's something about that, that when we're in prayer, when we cry out to God, is that even in your own willpower, see, sometimes our willpower is not enough. Even if we're a strong personality, or you're self-assured and you're a strong person, and it doesn't matter, sometimes it doesn't matter how strong you are. When you've got 10,000 people or thousands of people around you and everything hitting you, it doesn't matter how strong you are within yourself. Everyone has a breaking point. Everyone has a breaking point. It doesn't matter how strong you are within yourself. But there's something about the Spirit of God that rises within us. Even when our own humanity has had enough, even within ourselves, we feel overwhelmed, our emotions, as the Spirit of God begins to rise up within us and remind us, hang on, I haven't made you to be a slave again to fear and that constriction of that snaky thing that will try to crush the life out. You know, the Spirit of God begins to rise up within us and remind us, hang on, we have a Father in heaven and we are actually his children. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Something changes within us. Something rises within us. And that's what I believe that God wants us to tap into, that the whole sense of the Spirit of God within us, that we're not going to give way to fear again. We're not going to allow that to be a part of our life. And that's my prayer, is that we grab a hold of it, because the Holy Spirit begins to stir something within us, within your own self. You may be a strong person, but you will have a breaking point. But if we've got the Holy Spirit within us and we're standing there, there's no breaking point, because God is within our hearts. What are some of the things that people fear, and some of the things that people struggle with? And I just want to read some scriptures that just encourage us on some of these areas of life that we don't have to be fearful of. People live their whole lives in fear. The tragedy is there's people who don't come to Christ, live their entire life with fears dogging them at every path. And ultimately, really, they've got plenty of reasons to be fearful, because there's a lot of scary stuff out in life. There's a lot of scary stuff that happens. But ultimately, the most scary thing for someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ is dying. The fear of death, the fear of, well, what will happen to me? There's this hope that somehow that they're a good enough person, that when the scales are there, that they did enough good things to outweigh. Well, unfortunately, there's no scale like that. Even if there was a scale like that, it doesn't matter if we're a superhero, we're the most wonderful, giving, loving, caring person. That doesn't cut it with God. It's a perfection that can only be found through Jesus Christ. And people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe they're your friends, maybe they're your family, maybe you're your workmates, your neighbor, when push comes to shove, and if you ever have that opportunity to have the conversation with them, and certainly when somebody passes away, when someone has died, even if it's one of their relatives or someone, a workmate passes away or something, all of a sudden it begins to stir something in their own heart that, hang on, well, it could have been me that died. And And one day it will be me. I'm not going to live forever. And there's a fear of death that can come up into people's hearts and lives. And some people live their whole life not knowing and being unsure, well, what's going to happen to me when I die? Maybe not even wanting when they're young, just being oblivious to it. As they get a little bit older and as they begin to maybe have children and as they begin to live life a little bit more fully, they begin that comes into the back of the mind. It comes into the equation about this thing about, well, what happens to me when I die? And too many people live their whole life, and even who don't know Christ, they even come to their deathbed and they're terrified of dying because they just don't know what it's about. You can go to nursing home, and I praise God for the ministry that happens in the nursing home, because there's people there that are just terrified of the fact of dying. And they see it every day. They find that, oh, Mrs. Smith, room number 7, the ambulance came and they took her away. And she's passed away, and people live in that. But people, and that's very confronting because they see it all the time, but that's in the backs of so many people's mind. But we as believers don't have to be fearful of death. It says in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, and this is what it says. Since the children have flesh and blood, that's us, he too, which is Jesus, shared in their humanity. So he came down and walked among us, shared in their humanity, so that by his death, which we've already talked about at communion, was celebrated that he died on the cross and he rose again, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. What an amazing thing is. It tells us here that Jesus Christ, when he came on the cross, died on the cross, that he broke the power of the devil. Amen? He broke it. He has broken power. People worried about the devil. Jesus broke his power, cancelled his authority. He broke that. He broke it. And because of that, because of Christ, if we receive Christ and we live our life, we don't have any fear of death and dying. Whatever that age is, whenever that comes, there's no fear for us at all. And so we don't have to live with fear. And why I'm talking about even death is to say, well, I'm not afraid of dying. I know where I'm going to go because I love Jesus Christ. But then people get so fearful of whether they get an illness or a sickness, because ultimately they feel that perhaps this thing is going to get worse, or maybe somehow this is going to progress, and maybe this thing will take my life, and allow even fear to come into that with a medical diagnosis or something. Now things are real. If you get something that they find something or whatever, there's a reality of that, and in our own emotions, something can rise up within us. But something stronger than our own emotion has to rise up. The Spirit of God rises up and says, no, I'm not going to give way to fear. I'm not going to allow that in my life. And we've all probably got experiences where the doctors have said some pretty scary things to us. They said, oh, well, this condition is actually going to be this and all of this sort of stuff. But if we stand in God, we say, no, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to accept that. And we allow the power of God to be made manifest in life. God does amazing things to deliver us. But we don't have to live with fear of death or dying. And your family, who probably are, if you have a heart-to-heart discussion with them on the issue, deep down will be that wondering why. Maybe there's a hoping, maybe. I hope I'm good enough. You know, I just hope. Who wants to live their life with a hope? Why not live with a certainty and a surety and a knowing for sure of where we're going to go? And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. We're no ifs or buts. We know for sure. And so there's no fear of death. One of the other areas that people struggle with is the fear of men, the fear of other people. I'm not saying that they're afraid that they look down at their shoes at everyone that they meet. Not necessarily shy in that sort of way, but fearful of what people could do. Fearful of the power of people over their lives, what people can do to them, whether it's your boss at work or whether it's your neighbor or it's just people generally, and people are fearful of that. You know, little children grow up very scared sometimes of, you know, someone might come and get and break in the house, or there's a fear of people. And that's one of the things that cripples people. The scripture says a fear of men is a snare. It's something that will constrict you, will hold you in. And as people, God wants us, again, not to be arrogant, not to be cocky, but to be confident even in our dealings with people. Because if we're not confident dealing with them, it's going to be very hard to reach them, isn't it? If we've got the truth, but we're too scared to actually bring that across to them. And so we're to be ones that are not fearful of men. What people might say about us. And look, we all can fall for that. Look, Peter, Apostle Peter, he fell for that. In Galatians 2, Paul tells us how he actually has a go at him. Paul takes Peter and says, Peter, you're a hypocrite, mate. Here you are. You know, you've been preaching about the Gentiles, being all one or whatever, but because of this, some of the Jewish people there who won't associate with Gentiles, those who are not of the circumcised group, Peter starts to withdraw from them because of the peer pressure of these Jewish believers, and he goes in there and he's refusing to eat with these Christians, but they're not Jewish Christians, they're not circumcised believers. And so he starts to exclude himself. Even Barnabas gets caught up in it, we're told. Barnabas, the one who was the great encourager and the one that really found Paul and identified him for his ministry and helped bring him into the fold, if you like. Even Barnabas gets sucked in to this thing because they were fearful of the opinions of these people. What are these people going to think of us if we're hanging out with these people over here? And so fear of men actually became, even Peter. And Peter, we think, well, he's the most boldest person. But I don't think Peter was so bold. I actually think Peter was probably a bit more reckless than bold. Being bold means that you understand what the deal is. You see all of this potential of failure. You see all the things that can go wrong. But there's a confidence born of God, and you're going to move forward in it in faith, trusting God, and seeing something happen. Recklessness is don't even consider the implications, just into everything. And Peter's a little bit like that. So Paul actually gets Peter and takes Peter aside, and it's recorded for us in Galatians 2. He said, here's a go at him nicely, but corrects him and says, Peter, what are you doing, mate? This is hypocrisy. You're saying all this stuff and then you're withdrawing. So Peter got sucked in. If Peter can get sucked into it, man, can we get sucked into that too? Can we get sucked into worrying about people's opinions? What are people going to say about me? What are people going to think about me? And if you live your life caught up in that, fearful of other people's opinions or their assessments of you, man, that is a crippling thing. You'd be too scared to do anything lest you make a mistake and then someone criticizes you about it. And so other people's opinions will become the dominating force within your life, and that's a fear thing. That certainly is a trap that can come into people's lives. As I said, even Peter fell for it. So if we think that, oh, no, I can never feel it. Well, if Peter can fall for it, I think I can. I think we can fall for that. But we've got to make sure that in our own heart, that no, I'm not going to allow that fear in my life. Isaiah 51, 12 and 13 puts it this way. This is God talking. We listen when God speaks. He says, even I am he who comforts you. That's pretty good to know. God himself is the one who comforts us. He says, who are you that you fear mere mortals? Human beings that are but grass. Now, he's not putting us down, but he's putting a bit of perspective in things here. God is high and lifted up, and compared to God's majesty, his holiness, God who we honor and respect and love, humanity is just like grass to him. He says, who are you that you fear mere mortals, human beings about grass, that you forget the Lord your maker? And if you went to read the rest of that passage, he says, I am the creator of the universe. I am the creator of heaven and earth. And man, it's a pretty good rap, actually, about who God is and how awesome and how powerful God is. He says, so you're fearful of men and what other people think about you, what they might say about you, but what about me? What about me, says the Lord? He is the one. And we live our life ultimately wanting to please him, not trying to please everyone else, that they'll think nice about us and think, oh, they're a nice person and they did a good thing, so that when we're dead, they will get there and say, oh, wasn't he very nice? Yeah, he was very nice. At the end of the day, it's what God says about me that's really important. Now, I want to be respectful. I want to be loving. I want to be kind and nice-hearted to people the way that I live my life. But I don't want to live my life in the fear of ordinary people or anyone, really, what other people think about me. I don't want to cause offense unnecessarily. I don't want to be offensive. But I don't want to be constricted by fear about other people's assessment by me. And I'm sure that's God's heart for all of us. It's what God thinks of us is important. We know what God thinks of us. He says, I are the one who comforts you. We give our life to Christ. We know that we are in perfect relationship with our Father. We know our eternal destiny is secure 100%, no problems. It's done. It's a done deal. It was done on the cross when we receive it. And so we're not fearful of man. And so Hebrews 13:6 puts it this way. So we say with confidence, that word confidence again, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What can mere mortals do to me? And this scripture particularly was a real encouragement to me. As a young man, I'd studied accounting, and so I was a company secretary of a company, and they had people from the board of New Zealand coming, and they're making me sit, and I was only like 21, 22, sitting on with all these hot shots from New Zealand, sitting on a table with all of them. And just the thought of that originally, I felt very intimidating. Like these guys, you know, they're the big heavy dudes from overseas whose company owns the company that owns the company. And here I am sitting in on meetings with them. But God really spoke to me with this. Said, hang on, I'm not going to be, they're just ordinary men. What can they do to me? I'm not going to be intimidated by people, because God is with me, God's my strength, and God's put something within me. So I'm not going to be intimidated in that situation, and to live your life so that you're not intimidated by people. You give honour where honour is due. You give respect where respect is due. But you're not intimidated by people. You're not, I'm all inferior, or I'm hopeless, or I'm this or that. No. God is my helper. He's my strength, and I'm confident. I'm not going to be afraid. So the fear of men, we don't allow that into our lives. And that is so important, because what is the main reason why people don't share their faith? What is the biggest stumbling block when it comes to people actually sitting down and maybe talking to someone and saying, hey, how do you feel about life after death? How do you feel about those things? How do you feel about the important issues? What's the main thing? It's because we're afraid of people. We're afraid of what they're going to say. Are they going to get angry at us? Are they going to reject us? Are they going to think you're a lunatic? And so because of that fear, quite often people don't share their faith. They're afraid of that. They're afraid of being rejected. What if they reject me? I mean, which is pretty, it's selfish if we actually look at it. If we actually look at that, it's probably very, very selfish. What if they reject me? We've made it about me when we've actually found Christ and we have the promise of eternal life. They've got the fear of death. They don't know what's happening to them. And yet we're worried about they might reject us. You know, probably selfish if we're really honest with ourselves. It's probably a selfish thing. But the truth is, it's a reality for many people. We're worried about what people will say. What will they think of us? They'll brand you as some nutcase or some Fruit Loop or something. And so we're worried about it. But if we're going to live a life that's reigning, and we're going to be able to extend the kingdom of God and to enable God's kingdom to be extended as other people come to know Jesus Christ, and we can't be afraid of what people think about us. Now, we're not offensive. The scripture says, always do it with gentleness and respect. Respect where they're at. Okay, you don't shove it down their face. You don't beat them up. You don't give them Bible bruises. You don't do that. But we don't be afraid of what they're going to say. And it's so important. Don't allow that in. Just check your own heart. You might think, yeah, well, look, probably that has maybe crept in. And some people just don't even share their faith anymore, because that's actually become a bit of a stronghold, and it constricts at the fear of men, other people's opinions. What will they say? What will they think of me? But don't allow that. Paul cried out and prayed in Ephesians 6:19. He says, pray for me. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And that was his prayer. Just pray for me, guys, because make no mystery of the gospel. And this is as I should. And so let's be praying. So, Lord, I'm going to stand in that, Lord. I'm going to fearlessly. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm not going to stomp on people. I'm not going to beat them up. But, Lord, I'm not going to be ashamed. And, Father, I'm going to be confident in who you are. And, Lord, I'm not going to be selfish about, oh, what will they think about me? But, Lord, I'm going to have a heart for people who, when push comes to shove, don't know where they're going. I don't even know where they're going in life, let alone going in death. And so we're not going to make it about it. And just allow the Spirit of God to deal with that. If that's you, if you're honest with yourself, you've just stopped sharing your faith because you're scared. And maybe you've had an experience. Maybe someone has rejected you. But don't make it about you. Make it about people coming into his kingdom, that they might find what you have found. And so just watch that. The other area that people really struggle is in the area of finances, financial provision. Because the bottom line is we all need money. Amen? Well, some of you don't. Well, for those who don't, I'm available after the service. You can. We all need money, all right? We've got to eat. We all got bills. We all got to live, and that's a part of life. And it's just a part of life. But for some people, that becomes such a fearful thing. The finances, the economy and everything else and uncertainties that's out there. And, you know, I mean, we hear now of businesses that are just, so much stuff has just gone on standby in the whole economy is because we've got uncertainty with an election sometime, which we still don't know now exactly when it is. And there's announcements made and some people start sacking staff and all of uncertainty. And that area of provision can be one area too where the devil just wants to try to get in there into our, because it's a genuine need. We do need to eat. We do need to pay our bills, and all of those things are real. But fear can come into that area of our lives and think, oh, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to lose my job? What's going to happen with the kids? Am I going to lose my house? And I was talking to someone not in our church the other day who wasn't well, and out of not being well, had already lost her house. She's sick. And then her biggest fear was crying. She's devastated. I'm going to lose the house. Hang on. You're sick. I'm not even sure what it is. But already fear had got in there. And look, we're human. God doesn't beat us up for being human. He knows our weaknesses and our frailty. But when fear gets in, already it was, we're going to have to sell the house. We're going to lose the house. I'm going to lose my job there. I'm going to lose my house just because I'm sick at the moment. Don't allow fear, but fear will just get carried away. Well, that promise where it says about, don't be afraid, little flock, there's actually a context of that scripture. And I just read Luke 12, 31 and 32. It says, but seek his kingdom. So putting the kingdom of God first, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, we all know Matthew 6, 35, 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you, and that scripture. Well, this is in Luke 12 there, and it's the context of that. It's saying, seek ye first the kingdom and all these things. Yep, so you've got to pay bills. Well, that's fine. You need to eat, you need to wear clothes, all that stuff. It says, seek ye first his kingdom, all these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid, little flock. For your Father's been pleased to give you the kingdom. And really what the Lord is saying here is, look, he's given you the kingdom of God. He's given you eternal life. He's given you all the glorious and riches, the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And saying, well, don't be afraid then. Don't be afraid of all the needs and things. They're real needs. They're things that you've got to have. But don't be fearful in that area of your life. God can handle that. He can give you the kingdom. He's going to be able to make sure that our needs are met. So don't allow fear to come into that area of our life. Understand that he's given us the kingdom of God. So don't allow death or sickness or the fear of that. Don't allow that to be in your life. Don't let fear of man be intimidated with people, or what are they going to say, or what are they going to think of me. That's a crippling thing. It's a crippling thing where people analyze every conversation. Oh, did I say the wrong thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Oh, no, what do they think of me? Oh, no, and just destructive path, almost ultimately can almost lead to like an insanity sort of thing where you just everything second guessing yourself and every little thing that you do, just craziness, fear. But fear is such a powerful thing when it grabs a hold of people's lives. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so we've got to know that. He says, I the one who comforts. Once we know that God cares for us, he really cares for us. The God who created heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, he cares for us. And he says, give it to me. Cast all your cares on me. I'm going to look after you. You don't have to be fear. You can be confident because I'm there for you. I'm on your side. He gives us that promise. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything. Even if you're in the middle of the MCG and they're all baying for your blood, don't be anxious about anything. Anything, pretty exhaustive list, anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, so anything in every situation covers just about everything. It does, everything. So don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, we've already learned about praying, how to pray, and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Give it to God. And that's when fear is just cut off. If we don't bring it to God, if we don't elevate him in the situation, then the situation will elevate itself in our eyes and can almost obscure our view. So we've always got to honour God, elevate him, keep things in context, and fear doesn't have a place in our lives. And finally, the promise on Isaiah 41 verse 10. He says, so don't fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. This is God speaking. I will. I am with you, the great I am. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't be fearful. For I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I'm not going to leave you on your own. He's given us the Holy Spirit within us, remember, that rises up and says, hang on, I am his son and I belong to God. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a wonderful promise that we have in God, that we can live a fearless life without fear. We can be confident in our dealings of life, confident in our dealings with people. We're confident in our dealings with the enemy, the devil. We've already talked about that. We've already read even again today how he might destroy the power of him who holds the power of the death. Jesus already dealt with that. And finances and those things, we're not going to allow fear to be in our lives. And so my prayer for us this morning is that we learn to do that, and particularly when it comes to sharing your faith, that you're not going to hold back. Don't hold back on people. People live their whole lives not knowing, not having the answer to what's going to happen to me when I die. And they can delay that decision to the end. They can decide to take Jesus now and have that resolved. So let's stand to our feet. My prayer is this morning that we will understand what it is to rule in life, to live a fearless life. Don't allow fear to have any place in your life. It does not belong in your life. So, Father, Lord, as we stand here this morning, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've called us to reign and rule in this life. And, Father, a part of that, Lord, we know, Lord, is to live a life without fear. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us, so we don't have to be afraid. You've given us the kingdom of God, Lord, even as your word says, Lord, don't be afraid, little flock. You've given us the kingdom. And Father, I pray, Lord, on the knowledge of who you are and what you've done for us, Lord, that fear will have no portion in any of our hearts of anyone that is here this day, Father. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here this day, Lord, who first of all doesn't know you, Lord, has never come and said, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to receive what Jesus did on the cross. I need to make it mine. I need to apprehend that. I need that forgiveness. I need that new life. I need to know the eternal life issue is settled. Father, I pray if there's anyone like that this morning, Father, they'll have the courage to come out and say, yeah, I need Jesus this day. And Father, if anyone is just caught up with fear in their life, Lord, I pray, Lord, even as they come, Lord, there'll just be a breakthrough, Lord, that fear will no longer be their portion. We just see that the constricting fear just to be broken off in the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to live that life of confidence because of who you are and, Lord, who you've made us to be. And so, Father, we want to honor you this day in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.